Well, hello everybody. This is Kathy Caprino, and welcome to our Career Success Training teleclass program today. I am so excited about this topic. We are going to be talking about becoming your own best marketer, putting yourself forward in the world in the most compelling way. Love this topic, and I know lots of folks on the call are going to have questions. So for those of you who are brand new to the program, I just want to give you a few little administrative details, if I could. We are going to be on this call probably an hour and 15 minutes, and I'm going to be sharing about 15 minutes of strategies, solutions, and tips all around marketing, and we're going to be talking about kind of two dimensions, your career and your small business. So if you have a small business, we're going to have some concrete ideas for you there. But if you're also just talking about how do I market myself as a career professional, all of this applies to you as well. Pardon me, I have a little bit of a frog in my throat, so forgive me for that. I'd love you to have a pad and pencil in front of you and truly focus on this. We have so much going on. I have about four different devices all around me. They're all off, and I'm focusing just on you all and this content. I'd love you to do the same. So, again, I'm going to leave time for your questions, about 20 minutes worth, and you're either on the phone with me or online, and either way, I'm going to be able to get your questions. Later, I'm going to open the call, and you can press star 2 to raise your hand to ask a question, so I'll take them in the order I receive them. I already have one amazing question via email, which I love, that I'll take first. But online, if you're joining me that way, you can submit your question online. So think about what you resonate with, what makes sense, and also think about what you resist, what you think, oh, no, I don't want that to be the case, or, oh, that'll never be my problem. I always find that what I resist is exactly what I need to move forward through for exponential growth. Okay, again, all calls are recorded, and all registrants are going to get an email within 24 hours with a link to this call and a link to the slides. So if you do miss something that I say or a resource, I do want you to know a list of resources is at the end of the slide deck. So you have that. But if you do miss something, don't worry. You're going to get the call recorded, and you'll be able to listen at your convenience. All right. Let's absolutely jump right in. I'm going to go to the slides, and it's taking a little while for for the site to connect to the server. So let's just wait 1 second for those slides to pop up. But what I want to share with you is our learning objectives today. And there are six major ones. We're going to be talking about what marketing is and what it is not. We're going to talk about why marketing is a challenge for so many people and why I feel it's a particular challenge for women. And before I go further, I'd love to say I am going to be talking about women. I don't mean to paint every woman with the same brush. We're, of course, not all the same. But after spending 10 years and working with over 10,000 women, I do believe there are patterns that are observable that research has validated. So I'm going to be talking about those kinds of patterns in generalizations. Again, forgive me if you don't fit into this generalization, but I find that they're helpful. Number three, we're going to talk about the key marketing steps that have helped my business grow. And, you know, when I look back 10 years ago, I truly wish I knew these things. I was a vice president in marketing, a director and a VP for 18 years in the corporate world, and I did a lot of marketing, a lot of direct mail, millions and millions of pieces. But direct mail is not where it's at today. Things have changed about marketing. It's much more about engagement and interaction and connection. So I've learned the hard way a lot of what I'm going to be sharing with you. We're also going to be talking about the seven worst small business marketing blunders that I see over and over and over again. We're going to be talking about what is a personal brand, and I'm just going to give you a kind of overview of that, but I have some resources to share with you to go deeper. And finally, the five essential steps to what I call prosperity marketing. And what is that? Well, I think there's marketing that is all about how to push yourself forward, to connive, to trick. I just got, you know, I get about 400 emails a day sometimes. And, you know, some of them are very formulaic and have really tricky little headlines so that you open them. And I'm so not a fan of that. And I'm going to talk all about the opposite of that, authentic marketing and prosperity marketing, so that you are prospering, as are all the people that you're touching. So let's jump right in. What is great marketing? So, again, it's not formulaic. It is not cookie cutter. It is not one size fits all. And I just want to tell you a little bit of a story that kind of shares where I'm coming from. I have a friend who's a healer and a coach, and I'd been out of touch with her for a while, quite some time, and I heard from her assistant that she was launching a telesummit. And I said, oh, how exciting, let me hear about it. Well, it turns out she had joined a program that was teaching coaches how to build a list, make more money and build a subscriber list. And it was a very formulaic approach. Okay, you're going to do a telesummit. You're going to reach out to 20 people who have a big list, who are well-known, who have something important to say. They're going to, you know, because they're going to be a speaker in your telesummit, they're going to promote you. You're going to then have those names of their list onto your list. So that's the instant way to build a list. I'm so not a fan of that. And it doesn't mean that I think you shouldn't do a telesummit. What I mean is, what are you going to do when you build that list, when you have 2,000 names? And so I asked, oh, good, what's she going to do with that? Well, we're going to figure that out later. Well, that isn't how it works, and that annoys me, because great marketing is bringing, it's got one thing. You are of service. You always have a service mentality. So it's bringing yourself to market in ways that you're using your amazing talents to be of service to others. There's a quote that I just live by, Dr. Maria Nemeth, in her book, The Energy of Money. She says, people are happiest when they're demonstrating in physical reality what they know to be true about themselves while giving form to their life intentions in ways that serve others. Truer words have never been said, in my view. I just live by that. So great marketing is bringing yourself to market in an authentic, transparent, useful, beneficial, mutually beneficial way. It's about attracting ideal clients and customers and communities, people that you absolutely love to serve, not people that make you pull your hair out. I've had all this, you know. I want you to know none of this is I'm not judging, because I've been through all of it. I've been through attracting the wrong people, doing the wrong kind of work, focused on the wrong things. So I'm going to share all that with you. Great marketing is also sharing your amazing talents and gifts that are different and special. And every one of you has special talents. You may not believe it. I did a teen workshop last week with Think Peace Workshop. Workshops, amazing. 20 girls from all over the world. And it was about how do we use our talents and gifts to make a difference in the world. How powerful. But 5 out of the 20 girls said, I don't have any special talents. But as they started talking, what we uncovered was often your special talents are not in your awareness because they come so easily to you, you don't even know that you have them. So we are looking here at how to identify your amazing special talents and how to use those. And great marketing is authentic. It's integrity-filled, and it's value-laden. It reflects your core values every minute in every word. What it is not is sleazy, manipulative, cheap, slimy, untrustworthy, formulaic, cookie cutter. It's none of those things. Good marketing is none of those things. All right, so let me just, you know, set the stage for a minute and talk about why you need to get out there and speak powerfully and communicate powerfully and market yourself powerfully. Because there's a lot of pushback, especially from women. Why do I have to do it? Why do I have to ask for testimonials? Why do I have to, you know, spend time on the copy so that it perfectly reflects me? Why? Well, here are the top 5 reasons. First of all, no matter what your field, whether you're an interior designer or a coach or a business consultant or an accountant, you're in a highly competitive world now. You know, in many fields, it's completely global. If you look at what I do, which is career coaching and counseling, it's writing, speaking, leadership training, and it's programs all around career success, like this one, and building an amazing career. So, you know, I'm not just competing with people in my city, Wilton, Connecticut. It's a global issue. It's coaches all over the world. It's writers and speakers and trainers, many of whom have millions of followers. So I'm competing with the best of the best globally, and so are you, really. Number two, why you have to speak up powerfully and market yourself powerfully is your confidence is absolutely critical. You've got to know what you rock at, and you have to communicate that. Because if you don't know, no one else is going to know. If you don't tell us why we should work with you, I'm struggling here with my speaker headphone. There we go. Sorry about that. If you don't tell us why you're special and different and do it authentically, I don't mean lie, I mean tell the truth, well, then we don't really know. And we're not going to understand why we should come to you, right? So the other thing is you do have to get out there and speak it out loud, what you're great at. And women, we're going to talk about that, but women are not culturally trained to highlight their accomplishments. And this just isn't us being wimpy about it. There's cultural pushback. You know, there's a lot of research that says success and likability is positively correlated for men and negatively correlated for women, meaning when men are successful, they're well-liked. When women are highly successful, often they're not well-liked. I mean, look at leaders, women leaders. Look at Hillary Clinton, how we talk about her, how we, how we treat her in the media. And whether you like her or not, the point is she's a powerful woman, and we push back on that. So you've got to learn to speak about your talents and contributions. Why else? Because what you do matters. It changes the world, but you've got to get out there for that to happen. And finally, the energy of how you talk about yourself, even in your copy, in your teleclasses, whatever it is, the energy of it speaks volumes. You can feel it. You know, I've had a few posts go very viral, 6 million views, 2 million views, and the websites that they're on have called me and said, wow, what do you think is the key? And, there's no magic bullet to going viral, I don't think. Yes, there are things you can do to support your chances of going viral, but I think there's, in these pieces that have really hit, there's an energy to them. There's a palpable energy. And I think that's what helps trigger great success as well. All right, so I want to share, too, a few communication challenges that I see women have in the corporate world, in their own businesses, and I just want to make you aware of this. I've written a Forbes post, too, on the top communication challenges women face, and you can find that. Again, all of these resources are listed on the last page of the slides. But I find that there are five key communication challenges women face, and we've got to help ourselves get over them. First, it's taking credit where credit is due. We often want to say, we did it when you did it. You did it, absolutely. But we're uncomfortable saying that. We're uncomfortable also negotiating effectively for what we deserve. And, you know, the research has showed women tend to very effectively and assertively negotiate for other people's needs, their family, their children. Right? Have you ever had to go into a school and fight for what your child needs? Well, we do that beautifully. But when it comes to us, when we're trying to negotiate in a tough way for ourselves, that's where we fall down. The third challenge I see is challenging power. So, you know, we're going to be talking about how to charge. In fact, August 13th, teleclass is why you're not charging enough and what to do differently. But when you have an authority figure or power coming at you saying one thing, I find that women tend not to be as assertive as they need to be when challenging power. The fourth challenge that women have research shows this, men naturally find what are called sponsors at work. They're mentors, but also who have a higher level of influence and power and clout. Those are sponsors who can just pick you up, open doorways, clear pathways, suggest you for, you know, higher level positions. They have clout and power. And those sponsors are necessary in your life, and we need to find them. Women tend to go more for mentors who are on their same level. And I have some hypotheses as to why that is, but we need to change that. And the fifth challenge for women is projecting self-confidence and a powerful presence and command. We need to do that in everything we do. So these are just some things to think about. And again, when you're looking at this, I want you to write down, where does this resonate? For instance, do you have trouble negotiating for yourself? Do you have trouble going out there and finding powerful people to help support you? You know, this, it's important that we have this call be a breakthrough experience for you. And for that to happen, you have to think about it really personally. What is Kathy saying that really resonates with me or that I'm resisting that I need to do something about? Okay. We are on slide 6, the 7 worst small business marketing blunders I've seen. And I'm really flying through this because there's so much I want to share with you. But if you have questions, definitely post them on the Facebook Career Success Training page. Please like that and join that community and share your questions, or feel free to email me at Kathy@KathyCaprino.com. But here are the 7 worst marketing blunders. First, your business model is flawed. And I want to just give you an example of that. I work with a lot of coaches and consultants and advisors who jump into a business model that they hear about, that they think is going to work, but in reality, it's never going to provide them the sustainable revenue that they need. So let me give you an example. A lot of coaches start out where they're offering just one-on-one coaching. So, you know, they're paid by the hour. And what the vast majority of coaches have found, I mean, many are not making a living. Many are making $30,000 and less. Many cannot fill a client pipeline. Many don't know, you know, in order to fill a client pipeline like that, you have to be reaching thousands of people every week, because the people who are ready for coaching, have the money for coaching, even believe in coaching, and the people who are going to pay it to you, you know, rather than someone else, it's a small percentage, so you need to be reaching a lot of people. So that business model of one-on-one is truly not sustainable for the vast majority of people. So they're stuck. They can't pay their bills, and every month is up and down. Am I going to make it? Am I not? So that's an example of a business model that's flawed. No matter what you do, you're probably not going to make the money you need to. So there are other ways, for instance, coaches can make money: group coaching, webinars, just like I'm doing, teleclasses, video programs, writing, speaking. So you've got to look at your business model and make sure, vet it with someone, with experts who know, and make sure you're just not doomed at the start. The second worst blunder is your focus is misplaced. An example of that is I've done a lot of workshops on prosperity marketing, and what a lot of entrepreneurs and startup people want to talk about is, you know, for instance, what they're doing on Facebook. But they don't even have an ability to generate enough income. So, you know, talking about starting a blog when you don't even have a service menu to monetize your work, that's a mistake. You need to have the right focus in the right place, because it takes energy and commitment to do this work. So, you know, if you come up with a great blog but you don't have any way at all to monetize it, you're probably going to find that you're exhausted and there's very little return. Unless you're writing for the pure joy of it, which is great, but you do need a way to make money. Number 3 is your audience is a mismatch. I see this constantly. And again, I'm going to be talking about the coaching world, but this applies, I think, to every field. I'll help hear from my friends who, let's say they're coaching divorcees, people who've gone through divorce and they want to, you know, reinvent themselves. Well, a lot of people going through divorce don't have a discretionary income. They've had to really tighten things. Well, one of my friends decided to launch a high-end program, and it was a destination program where it was, you know, a week away in a fantastic European city, and it was a special high-end retreat. Everything looked good, and she even got, you know, help from these expert marketing gurus, and again, it makes my blood boil. But the problem is she's not connected to the audience that has that kind of money. She had a list of about 6,000 people. Maybe 1% had that kind of discretionary income. So the audience to what you're putting out there has to match, right? It has to, or you're just going to fail. The fourth huge blunder is people have put out services and products, but they're not enjoying what they've created. They've done it for the money, but their energy isn't aligned with it. And that is going to catch up with you because it takes an incredible amount of energy, time, and resources to put these things out there in the world. And if you don't enjoy it, it's really going to start to be a problem. The fifth huge blunder is your pricing is off. You know, a lot of people will price on what they need to earn. And that isn't how you price. It's not what you need. It's the value of what you're delivering, the evidence that you have that you can guarantee those kinds of results, right? And you do have to be, you have to understand the competitive terrain. So if, for instance, you're a brand new coach and you want to charge $400 an hour, you're going to have a hard time because people who've been doing it 10 years who have, you know, hundreds of testimonials and thousands of case studies, and maybe who have a media platform, they're charging that. So you do, it's not what you want to earn. It's what makes sense for the value and the expertise and experience that you offer. The sixth marketing blunder is your services simply don't stand out. And we're going to talk all about branding in a minute, but I see this over and over. You know, I'll look at coaches' websites or consultants' websites or even writing consultants. And, you know, if your services are communicated in a way that they're so bland, they're so what everyone's offering, you're not going to hit it because it just lays there. It's not communicated in language that reaches out and grabs the person. Like, oh, you're speaking exactly to me, and I'm going to talk to you about how you do that. And the seventh huge blunder in marketing is you simply lack the readiness and willingness to do what's required. It's not easy to launch a successful business. It's an incredible amount of work. It's not for the faint of heart. And a lot of people give up way too early. I mean, that's what a lot of the research shows about startups. They throw in the towel too quickly. They don't understand. They just needed a pivot, and they needed to keep going. But you need to be ready and willing to do what is absolutely required. So I've given you some questions here about to answer to address some of these blunders. And again, we are going to go in depth on each of these, but I want to lay them out for you so that you can read them later in the slides. So what is your platform? And by that, you know, when we talk about, for instance, a media platform, it means how you're communicating with people, the way in which you're reaching thousands of followers. So what is your platform? How do you get the word out? You know, if it's by word of mouth, that might work, but probably it won't. You need other ways for people to know about you. Is it through your newsletter? Is it through advertising? Is it through your speaking? Is it through your blog? How do you get the word out, and how can we expand that? The second question is, who is your audience? What's the size? What's their geographic, demographic, and psychographic profiles? You've got to know this. You've got to understand your niche. And I hope your niche is deep and long. Deep and long. What I mean by that is you can go deeply into it and understand these people inside and out because that's what you need to. But some people cast a very wide net, and that's okay in certain circumstances. But the key is you have to know these people, where they eat, where they sleep, what their problems are, how they bank, what keeps them up at night. You have to know all about it for you to be very compelling and connect with them with language that works. You have to know how to grow your audience, and we're going to talk about that. And you also have to look at who is in your loyal community. You need a network. You need other people to be ambassadors for your work. And again, I'm going to touch on all of this. You need to know what makes your products and services different. How am I different in what I do than every other blip on the planet, every other consultant, every other coach? Right? You have to understand your services and pricing and offerings and make sure they're a match to the people you care about that you want to serve. And then you need to absolutely develop a sound business, marketing, and financial plan and vet it out with an expert. All right. So let's dig into these things a little more deeply. I want to share with you 7 marketing steps that I would say were absolutely instrumental in my business, in getting it to where it is today. And it took years. I won't say that it was overnight. It wasn't at all. If you know, for those of you who don't know my story, it's in my book, Breakdown Breakthrough. Had an 18-year corporate career in marketing. You know, I managed multi-million dollar budgets, $30 million budgets, global initiatives, big staff, teams, product launches. So I learned a lot about marketing. But on the outside, it was very successful. On the inside, it wasn't. It was bumpy and challenging. And I, after a brutal layoff after 9/11, I became a therapist and trained as a coach. And what happened to me was I started giving talks to women around Connecticut about how do we thrive through change. And women would line up. These are mid-career working women. Line up after these talks, many with tears in their eyes, many shaking, saying, you have just hit it. These are exactly my challenges. I don't know what to do. And no one's talking about it. And from that, it became a calling to me. So that was, you know, about 8 years ago. And I decided I have got to get to the bottom of this. It's a hidden epidemic. What's going on for women? And I do believe that women are not men in skirts. Our gender shapes our identity, and I feel that we process things differently. We have different challenges, and we experience them and talk about them and feel about them differently. I think our neurobiology affects us tremendously, men and women. So, you know, it became a calling for me to understand women and how to help them navigate through their challenges. And number two, how to come up with new solutions and new programs that move women forward. So that has taken, you know, a good 8 years. And I'm doing things differently than I ever did before, and I continue to grow and learn. But here's 7 things that truly help my business grow to where it is. I believe that we're here to be of service. So what you want to do is develop helpful, free, downloadable material. So, you know, and boy, have I learned. In the beginning, you don't want to give anything away. Why should I give this away? I just spent hours creating it. You've got to give it away. That's life today. You've got to give it away so that people can find you, utilize, you know, your unique perspective, and then they will come back. But you have to be of service first. So I created my career path assessment, which I highly recommend everybody taking. You can find that on my website, kathycaprino.com. And that's a way that has built my mailing list to what it is now, about 40,000 people. And I'll tell you more about that. But it's a survey I believe everyone should take before they make any moves. So I'm happy to share it. It's questions I wish someone had asked me. I'm thrilled to have that as a tool. And I mention it in almost every article because I believe in it. I believe that before you have anything, you have to know yourself. Before you have any success and happiness, you've got to start with yourself. So you want to develop helpful free content that people download and give you their email address for that. You have to build a list of like-minded followers. You really have to have a list today if you're offering any kind of service, any kind of product or program in a website. And you've got to have a website, of course. And you build a list through many different ways. One is, you know, writing. And I write, as you know, extensively on topics that I know very well. But that doesn't mean I remain kind of the stagnant expert. I'm always learning. I'm always reading about 20 articles at one time, 3 books at one time. I'm taking 2 e-courses and web courses. Always learning. Because what you learn, then you can share with the people that have come to you. You can be only one step ahead. You don't have to be 100 steps ahead of the people that come to you for help. The fourth thing that's helped me is a media platform and media attention. And how does that come? I mean, a lot of people say, how can I have a Forbes blog? It comes from putting your work out and putting it out and putting it out and putting it out consistently. And what happens is people start to recognize what I call your voice, how you uniquely look at the world. And that happens over time. It doesn't happen overnight. A lot of people will say, you know, I teach leadership. I want a blog. Well, it's not just about what you teach. It's about, have you been writing consistently? Because, holy cow, I've written hundreds of posts for Forbes, and when I look at some of the beginning ones, I cringe. You know, you learn, you better yourself. The fifth thing that has really helped me is finding sponsors, collaborators, and organizations that were instrumental. We're going to talk about that in a minute. A sixth step is researching and interviewing. When I was first writing my book, Breakdown Breakthrough, I went to an editorial expert consultant, and she said, look, your book, you're a fine writer, that'll be fine, but what you really need to do is research. And I thought, what does she mean? What does she mean, research? Go to the library? But what came to me as a revelation was, I thought I knew about breakthrough, but that's my story. How about talking to 100 other women who've had a breakthrough, who've overcome the 12 hidden challenges working women face? Why don't I get out of myself and talk to other women? And that was an absolutely instrumental move that generated my book. That, and now I research for my Forbes blog, and it's the most enlivening thing in the world because you stay so connected to what inspires you and to people who inspire you and teach you. The seventh step that, you know, marketing step that really helped my business, I say writing my book, that was not a marketing step. That was something I felt I could not do. Again, that kind of emerged from the calling. But once you have a book, you market that. You know, there's credibility there. You talk about it. You point people to it. You spent years doing it. You know, it's a tool you want people to use. But I would say developing programs just like this one, my Amazing Career Project video program, my group intensive programs above and beyond my one-on-one coaching, that's all helped my business tremendously. So what is a brand? Let's talk about it for a minute. Now, I want you to know I am not the world's top expert on branding, but I know some people who are, and there's a link at the bottom of the next slide. fearlessbranding.com and reachpersonalbranding.com. Check these folks out. They're fabulous. But, you know, briefly, this is what I've learned about branding. What is it? It's about three things: the emotional, aesthetic, and functional experiences and benefits you deliver. So I've got Tiffany there, that wonderful blue box of Tiffany. So look at Tiffany. What do you think it means? I mean, everybody's going to interpret it differently, but when I see that blue box and I have a few Tiffany things, I've gotten a few Tiffany gifts, they've done an amazing job with their brand. It's elegance, it's high quality, top of the top, right? There's all sorts of words that come to us when we think of Tiffany. It's the emotional, aesthetic, and functional experience of that. So I want you to think about your personal brand. And you can be a corporate careerist or you could be in your small business. It applies to you equally. Think about your unique gift, your special offering, and your promise. So let me dimensionalize that. When you look at your client and customer, you want to think about, what's my unique gift for my client, my ideal client base? And to know that, you have to know their demographics and their psychographics. You have to know them. So for me, mine are, you know, women 30 to 55. They've had some career experience. They're not right out of school. I have a friend who works in that demographic. She's amazing at it, Allison Cheston. But I work with women who've had some experience. They know what they don't want. That's so helpful. And they've had some success, and we're building on that. But many of them don't know what they do want. That's me. That's my sweet spot, because that was me, and nothing helped me. And so that's why I'm so passionate about helping people who don't know what they want to do next, but they're very talented and brilliant. That's my unique gift. Okay, your special offering. So you've got to know, what is their real pain? What, in a nutshell, what are they suffering from? And how do you uniquely address it? And you can't just say, you know, I've gotten a coaching certification. You can't do that. So what? So have 10,000 other people in the past day. What is your special offering in the way you do it that addresses their pain? And then your promise. You've got to know what they want to hear. What do they want? You know, a lot of marketing says to reel them in, tell them what they want, give them what they need. And there's a lot of truth to that. For instance, you know, building an amazing career takes a lot of inner and outer work. But I'm not going to keep hitting that over the head, because that's going to make people think, oh, I'm never going to lie. In all my materials, you'll see that I say this takes work, inner and outer work. But, you know, in some ways we have to entice them that the outcomes that they're desperate for are within their reach. So you need to communicate that if you believe that, and I do. So you have to know what they want to hear, but you also have to know what they need to do. So here's a quick exercise. I call it, you know, your brand summary. Do this. Spend some time. Print it out and fill this in. You want to fill in the blanks. I help blank. And that blank is your target market. Who struggle with blank. And that's their key problems that they face. Two, blank. And that's going to be the result that they achieve. So that they blank. And that's going to be the emotional, spiritual, and financial and behavioral benefits of working with you. So let me just give you my example. There's lots of ways to do this, but I sometimes change my brand summary given what my focus is that week, that month, that year, but this is what it is basically. I help mid-career women who struggle with wanting more, different, or better in their lives to identify what they really want and get on the path to creating it so they feel greater happiness, reward, and success both at home and at work. So there's a lot within that wording, and words are, you know, every word is powerful. Spend time with your words. Sometimes I'll write something and I'll just stare at the word and say, that's not it. That is not it. That doesn't have the energy. What is the word I mean, or the phrase, or the sentence? So, like, for instance, women who struggle with wanting more, different, or better, that really is it. There are women I work with that want more leadership. They like their career path, but they want more recognition and more responsibility. There are women who want different. I don't like this. I hate it. I want something completely different. And then there are women who are on somewhat of the right track. They just want to ramp it up to better, to being more expansive, happier, more joyful, better. So what is your brand summary? Fill that out. Take some time. Now I want to talk about the five critical pillars of prosperity marketing. Get clear, get writing, get speaking, get collaborating, and get envisioning. I've taught this and over, and I believe that these are five pillars that you absolutely need if you want to move forward in your marketing. And again, I think this applies perfectly well to corporate women as well as when you're launching your business, starting your business, you've got a new venture, these are the things you have to do. So get clear. What I mean by that is you need a crystal clear understanding of what you're passionate about and what you stand for in the world. And you need that in order to engage with others and build a community that supports your work. You've got to be clear. And you've got to be specific. It can't be, you know, I ask people, what's the legacy you want to leave in the world? And they'll say, about 98% say, I want to help people. That's awesome, but you've got to know a lot more than that. How do you want to help them? And who? Who are they? Who are people? Is it men? Is it women? Is it parents? Is it children? Is it people with ADHD? You know, I have a friend who's a coach who focuses on anxiety of moms and ADHD for teens and adults. That's a specific niche. You know, who do you want to help? It's not everybody, because you really can't. You can't help everybody on this planet. In a deep, deep way. If you're a wonderful, giving, loving spirit, you can, because you help everybody you touch. But in a business, you've got to be focused and really clear. So ask yourself, you know, these questions. Describe your business or your professional story in 10 words or less. Tweet it. You know, 140 characters. What is it? What's your business or your story? And why you? Why should someone come to you for this? You know, when someone asks me that, I say, here's why. I had an 18-year corporate career. I rose to a very high level. I really understand what the challenges are of having a big career. Work-life balance, all of it. Power, dynamics, etc. I left and I'm trained as a therapist, an energy healer, and a coach. And number three, I've spent 10 years studying women's issues, researching my own, you know, proprietary research as well as secondary research and writing and interviewing women movers and shakers. And number four, I've written a book about women's challenges and how do we navigate through them. That's my world. And there wasn't help when I was going through this, and that's why it's critical to me to give women the help they need. So that's what I say. And, you know, I can ask you, you can let me know, does that sound like bragging? I don't feel like I'm bragging. I feel like I'm really telling the truth. This is why you should come to me. If you're a woman, mid-career woman, and you have career challenges and you're highly functional, you just need some support to move you through the path, I'm the one. So take my free career path assessment. Download that on my, the link is here. Get to know yourself. Why you? What are the problems you solve, the pain points, the emotional benefits, your ideal client, you know, all of this you need to answer. Also, I remember my publicist for my book said, what do you want from this book and what do you really want? Oh, I'll never forget that question. And it zeroed it in for me. Yeah, I wanted to be of help and offer strategy solutions and tips that weren't out there. But you know what? What I really wanted was to be part of the national conversation. I can't believe that. And I would never have known that till she asked me that question. And, you know, 8 years later, I can say I am part of the national conversation. Sure, I'd love to be a bigger part. But, wow, what do you want from your business and what do you really want? And get hip, you know, to your trip. Really figure it out. All right. Then, getting writing. It's an essential part of getting out there. Communication equals community, and content is crucial. So to engage with past or current and potential clients and ambassadors for your work and supporters and referral sources and organizations that love you, that want to help you spread the word, you've got to let them know what you're doing, and you can do that through writing. And you've got to talk about, you know, stuff that benefits them. So here's a few tips about how to get writing. The very first thing is you've got to watch, look, and learn. You've really got to look around at the terrain of the field that you're in and find influencers, people that are role models for you, people that you want to be like. I mean, I have so many. Every level I've had, I'll find people that are 10 steps ahead, someone who's done a TED Talk that I'd love to do, someone who's run a program that I'd love to emulate in terms of its success or its process. Learn, watch, interview, and research movers and shakers in your field. It's incredibly powerful. You know, when you do that, let's say you have a blog or a newsletter and you do an interview once a month, number one, you're getting out of yourself because people get bored of what we have to say. I get bored with what I have to say. I get bored with the way I phrase things. I'm bored with myself. When you interview someone, you get a whole new, it's like plugging yourself into an outlet, a whole new juice, their language, their worldview, their helpful tips. And you can look at, wow, how would I have said it differently? Or, you know, I'm on a lot of radio shows lately, and I'll listen to what the hosts say, and I'll think about, wow, that's a real match to what I think, and wow, that isn't. I had someone say to me the other day that gender wasn't important to her. She didn't identify as a woman, just as a soul. And I love this woman. It's Sister Jenna, actually, of America Meditating Radio. What a person. And I have to say, I don't resonate with that idea that I'm just a soul. I feel that my soul expresses itself through my gender. And how fascinating. I mean, I would never even thought of that had she not said what she did on this radio show. Articles. Start writing about what you know best. Just start. Pick a topic you can talk about in your sleep. And if you don't have one that you can talk about in your sleep, then you don't have the expertise yet, and you need to. It just takes focus. Pick something that you can sink your teeth into and become an expert at. I don't care how fine and small it is, but you need expertise if you want people to hire you, right? Another thing, I'm an enormous fan of LinkedIn. I'm an ambassador for them, and they just gave me the ability to publish on LinkedIn, which has been unbelievable. The fourth post I did went viral on 6 toxic behaviors that push people away. It's been amazing. But one thing I like best is their discussion groups. There's one called Connect, Professional Women's Network, powered by Citi. It's the LinkedIn Women's Network. Fantastic. The discussions on there, the input, the perspectives, the dialogue, the arguments, that, but on that, it's always very positive. They manage it beautifully. I think there are 300 women on it. Get on there and find 20 other groups that relate to your area and start a discussion and add your viewpoints to the discussion. They're so powerful and people get to know you, but that's writing, you know? Brainstorm 3 or 4 different angles for your content. A how-to list, a recommended resource, a short ebook. What can you write? What can you create? And again, wherever you can, make it downloadable for free. I said this, find 20 key influencers. What do they do that you want to emulate? You know, if you don't have a role model, that's very telling. It means you're isolated. You need people that are 10 steps ahead of you that you just go, oh, I want to be like that. Newsletter. Now, Sharon wrote me about the newsletter. I'll talk about that. She wanted to know what makes a monthly newsletter effective. Talk about that at the end. But newsletters are powerful. You know, I'll see people on the street and they'll say, oh, I feel like I've just had coffee with you. And I haven't seen them in 8 months. It's because the newsletter comes to them regularly and speaks to them. You know, they wouldn't continue to be on my list. They just unsubscribe if what I have to say isn't a match to what they care about. So give your audience what they need and want and deliver it regularly, absolutely regularly. Don't make it once every 3 months. That's not enough. And if you do a blog, you need to do it weekly as well. A freebie download, we talked about that, a helpful survey, a guidebook, a how-to tip, or I have a resume blunders, you know, resource. All right? So get out there. Start writing. Just do it. Okay, speaking. That's the third pillar. So communicating your expertise and brilliance and gaining exposure through public speaking workshops and seminars is a fantastic way to build your community, develop new business, attract new clients, ideal clients because they've seen you in action, generate additional revenue streams, and also bring to you new partners. I mean, there are people that have said, I absolutely love what you do. I do something a little differently. It's complementary. Let's band together. All right. Why not? So how do we get speaking? Well, list some of the events with speakers that you've attended. And if you haven't attended any, start attending. If you want to be a speaker, you've got to watch speakers in action. Go to 10 talks, you know, and there's a lot of them for free, so money is not going to need to get in the way there. What do they do well? What do they not do well? What drew you to that event? You know, what one word jumped out on the brochure or the web page that you thought, oh, I got to go to that? What feeling did this speaker leave you with? Were you inspired? Were you motivated? What action did you take as a result? So be the receiver, but also be the observer. Pour yourself into these talks, into these workshops, but also learn from it. Learn from the process. I call it content and process. The content is literally what you got. The process is, what did I learn about my process? Brainstorm 3 topics for workshops for 3 distinct audiences. Like for me, one could be leadership, corporate women that want more. Another could be women who want a completely different career. That's a different mindset. The third could be my prosperity marketing coaching, which I have, for people like you who want to know how to market themselves and take themselves to the next level. 3 distinct audiences. Do an outline. You know, what would be in an hour? What would be the 10 things I'd want to cover? What information would be similar in all of them? Those are the core themes that connect your work, you know? Like I talk about prosperity marketing, I talk about authenticity. Those are themes I talk about in everything. How to be transparent, how to use your values and have your values shape everything you do. You know, that's core in all of my programs. So what are the threads that tie them all together? And then what action steps, exercises, or things to think about, or a 5-day challenge can you give people so that they can... It's not just about information. You have to move them forward through action. You also want to identify 10 groups or organizations in your state or locally that you'd like to serve in some way. Research recent and upcoming speakers and topics that they're putting forward. What topic can you see yourself offering? And do the outreach. Do it. and then sit down and draft an hour talk and practice it. You know, it's one thing to write it out. It's another thing to get up there and say it. I just did a post on Forbes yesterday about why you're not the best speaker in your field yet. It's great. It's I can say that because the content was from Leslie Kawhi, who's a communications expert and a professor at Brigham Young University, and she helps a lot of leaders and speakers and authors and experts perfect their messages and deliver them powerfully. So check that out. But practice it and deliver it to a friend and one colleague who and ask for very candid feedback. What didn't work? What did? Were they bored? Okay? Those are some tips for getting speaking. Get collaborating is the fourth pillar of prosperity marketing. What do I mean by this? Well, you can't achieve success alone or in a vacuum. You simply can't do what you want to do in the world if you're alone. Build a huge network. I mean, there's a million ways to do this. There's LinkedIn. There's, finding 20 people again and that are key influencers and movers and shakers and offer your help to feature them. Or there's a lot of ways. But you need wonderful partners, colleagues, supporters, and connections to elevate you. So really think about it. If your circle is 20 people, it needs to be 200 people. You need help with this to build a wonderful tribe, really. That's what we're talking about. So think about what expertise and experience and connections can you bring to a collaboration with a great new colleague. You know, at the end of the slide, I say, run out and read Judy Robinette's book, How to Be a Power Connector. She's my sponsor. I call her my sponsor. Incredibly high level. She's got billionaires in her Rolodex and celebrities and politicians. And she is incredible. And I wrote a post about her on Forbes as well in my Career Bliss blog. She did something I've never seen before. I was interviewing her last year for Forbes on a documentary she was advising on, and we really connected. And about literally 2 months later, I got an email. Hey, Kathy, how you doing? What's up? What do you need help with? I thought, what? What is this? I've never seen such a thing. Such a busy woman, so highly connected, and she's swooping in from her busy life to ask me what I need. And I took her seriously. You know, I really thought about, what do I need? What are the connections I need? What do I need? And I told her, and 5 minutes later, she sent me five connections and fired off email introductions. It was unbelievable. Who can you do that for? Get collaborating. Help people. Swoop in and help people. It doesn't take as long as I thought it used to. It takes 5 minutes, right? Brainstorm three like-minded business owners whose work complements yours. There's another great book, The Pumpkin Plan, by Mike Michalowicz. The Pumpkin Plan. You can find all of this on Amazon. And he offers some incredible techniques for building connections and collaborations with people who are doing complementary work serving your audience. So interesting. Check that book out. Reach out to potential collaborators through social media and tell them you love their work, you'd love to support it. You know, I get emails like this all the time, and when I have time, I definitely do connect. Find local organizations, publications, newsletters, and membership programs in your area that could use your expertise and your writing and offer to contribute a piece, a blog post, a half-hour workshop. Get collaborating. I can tell you this, it's relationships, whether in your corporate career or not, or in your small business, that will make the difference. It's relationships. Now, finally, get envisioning. You have big dreams. You wouldn't be on this call if you didn't. I do, too. My dreams get bigger and bigger and bigger. My next dream is a TV show that I'm working on. But the reality is you can't get where you dream of with your business or your career if you don't know what that is. You've got to build on your compelling vision with SMART goals. So here's what I mean. SMART is specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. You really have to break it down. So when people come up to me and say, oh, Kathy, you wrote a book. I want to write a book. I'll say, fabulous. Are you writing? No. Well, you can't write a book if you're not writing anything. No way, right? So that's what I mean. Chunk it down. Okay, I want to write a book, but I first have to start a blog. And my first blog post is going to be a week from today. And I've decided I'm going to interview Blip on Blip. Now, that's chunking it down. It's specific. It's measurable. You can measure it. I did it by next Friday. It's achievable. You can do that. It's realistic. It's not so far out of the realm of realism that it's just too far down the chain of destiny. And it's time-bound. I will do this by next Friday. Brainstorm a list of the outside help you need. So here's the deal. We all need help. Don't try to do this by yourself. You're going to need marketing, maybe marketing help, business help, financial help. You're going to need help building a business model that works. And you can do this. You know, score.org is an amazing organization. It's free. Fabulous people are volunteers, and they help you build a business plan. They help you look at what you're not looking at. You are going to need a financial consultant, you know, to help you build a financial plan for your business. You've got to build these things, and you need, you know, you need people in your corner to help you. So I call it an accountability buddy. If you can't hire a coach, get a buddy, someone who's in the know, who can mentor you, and supporters who are willing to help you. All right, that was a lot of talking. I always end these programs with my five steps for career and life growth. These are steps that I take every client through. These are steps that are essential, and they have to come in this order. I mean, it's circular. It's not a linear process, but you do have to take these. Step back for an empowered perspective of who you are and where you are and where you want to go. And it also means look at what your situation is telling you. If you're going broke in your business, you've got to change something. Maybe the business model, maybe how you're getting out there, maybe you're spending too much on overhead. Don't be blind to what your situation is telling you. Second step is let go of the thinking patterns and behaviors that are keeping you stuck. We all have them. Often they're from subconscious mindsets and blocks and traumas we've experienced. But you've got to let go of the patterns that keep repeating in your life that are crushing you down. And you can identify them by answering that question. What keeps repeating in my life that is ruining my chances for happiness? The third step is say yes to your compelling visions. What would it look like? If I waved a magic wand and you have what you wanted, what would it look like? How would you know? What would be different? The fourth step is you've got to explore it. Try on new opportunities. Get out there speaking, writing, collaborating. Get out there in the world. Try it on, right? And then learn from what you try on. And finally, create it smart with those short-term and long-term goals and an accountability buddy. All right, so the breakthrough takeaways today, what's your compelling vision for the next level for you? How can you bring yourself to market now, starting right away? It doesn't have to be 10 months from now, right? What are you committed to creating starting today? What do you need to let go of? And one is, what is one concrete action step you will take this month to create your breakthrough? And where are you going to find support? So I want to open the call up, but I also want to point you to, I have a prosperity marketing coaching training program. It's 10 sessions to start. It's fabulous. There's a link to it there if you want more in-depth work on all of this, all these topics. So let me go to the phone. And what I want to do is take your questions. I really want to hear from you. I'm giving us 15 minutes here. Now is your time. You've got a dedicated coach to help you. Think about it. What do you want to move forward with today that you need help with? Now I'm going to immediately take this question from Sharon, and she says, what makes a monthly newsletter an effective tool for building clients? Specifically, length, subject titles, effective words, and offers. Well, I can give you, Sharon, I don't know your field, so I can't give you subject titles. You know, you would have to tell me what your field is, and we'd have to get a little more specific, and for that, we'd need some prosperity marketing coaching. But I can give you some overarching themes. The length. You know, one of my problems, I have to say, is I tend to be verbose, and I give sometimes too much information. You want these brief. You want people to, when they get the newsletter, be excited to read it. So 500 words or so, that's a great, well, that's a good blog post length. Mine are often 1,500 words because I'm talking about very deep topics, but you want them brief. Subject titles, you know, there's a lot that I've learned about what gets people to open a newsletter. You have to understand their language. You have to know these people. Is it midlife women? Is it, you know, again, what is their pain point? Your subject titles always have to address the pain point. You don't want them promotional. You want your newsletter to be informative, to be engaging, to be interactive. Effective words, you know, it's interesting. In blogging, what we find is the negative subtitles really grab people much more than the positive ones. And I wish that weren't true, but that is the way it is. For instance, the two posts that have gone viral for me are on Forbes, 6.6 million views, I think it is, was 7 crippling parenting behaviors that keep children from growing into leaders. I mean, anyone who's a parent, including me, wants to read that. Wow, what am I doing that's crippling my child? The one that went viral on LinkedIn, 2.3 million views, was 6 toxic behaviors that push people away, how to recognize them in yourself and change them. I mean, I could do a whole hour on headlines. I think what was powerful about that is the word toxic. I asked my 19-year-old daughter, why do we think that people open that? So it went viral, and she said, well, first of all, we kind of want to know if we're toxic because we kind of think we are, each of us. We want to also know if the person in our life who feels really toxic is, right? So it's almost everyone on the planet, you know. And what I loved about the responses I got was people said, oh, my gosh, I have 4 out of 6 of these. They didn't feel it was judging. One woman did, but the 2 other million said, you know, it helped me recognize what I'm doing that I want to change. So you want powerful words. You want to get at pain points. But they all can't be negative. That's just manipulative, you know. So those are some suggestions. The other thing I've learned is it can't be totally promotional. It can't be promotional. Your newsletters have to inform and engage. Ask questions. Put out a survey. Make it interactive. Don't just push at them. And, you know, you can have dedicated emails, newsletters that talk about your programs and promote them, but that has to be, you know, less than 1 out of 5. The other 4 have to be informative and engaging. Facebook is a whole different beast. I highly recommend a program called FB Influence by Amy Porterfield. I just bought it. I'm overwhelmed at what I'm not doing properly on Facebook. I am doing some things very well. I'm not doing others. Buy it, $97. Everything you want to know on Facebook. But the key is to engage. Ask questions. You know, I found that when I ask a question, asking them for one word, what's the one thing you want more of in your life in one word? Wow, I'll get 100 responses. It's about engagement, connection, knowing what they care about, and speaking to them as if you're really on their level. I hope that was useful. Okay, any other questions, folks? Now is your chance, please. Just raise your hand. You press *2 to raise your hand. Or online, you can just submit your question, and I will get it. I'm checking my dashboard now. Wow. Interesting. Okay. Anybody have anything on the phone, press *2. Now, please, don't be shy. What I want to tell you is every question that you ask represents thousands of people like you. If you're struggling with it, thousands of people are struggling with it. I'm not kidding you. Maybe not in the complete specifics, but in the nature of the question. So, please, don't be shy. Now's your chance to help yourself and also help others. I'm wondering if here we go. Thank you, Marie. I was going to ask, I'm wondering if my dashboard's working because it's a little slow, but I see your question. Thank you. So Marie asks, in selling yourself, how do you offset big gaps in work? So Marie, I'm going to take a leap and guess at what you're saying, and you tell me right back if I'm wrong. So you are you're probably interviewing and going for jobs, but you have some big gaps in chronology, in how you've been working. Is that right? Can you let me know? So what you have to do is paint a very compelling professional picture of yourself. So if we're talking about you as a professional, not in launching a business, but in pitching yourself, and you've been out of work for a while, or you've been focused on different things, you have got to find a way to present a compelling picture that defends those gaps and makes sense of them. So let's say you've been out of work for, a year. You have to have a story that makes sense about why that's happened. Never lie, never embellish. I'm not about that. But it's called a reframe. Let's say you were fired, and that led to 6 months of unemployment. And, what happens is people, I was laid off. It can be very devastating, even if you don't want that job. Well, you have to heal that devastation, and it's called a reframe. You have to find a way to talk about it that fits the facts equally well, but allows for more expansion and positivity. So, if I look at how I was laid off, and I was so devastated, I couldn't speak about it for years, I could say I was laid off. The negative way to look at it is I was laid off because, the truth was because I had kind of challenged my boss who became the president, and that was not copacetic. But there were other reasons. It was a layoff after 9/11. We had a big travel component to our business, and that business tanked. And I was one of 100 people that were laid off, and I was one of the highest paid vice presidents. That's a positive reframe, and that's exactly what happened. So you have to find a way to tell the professional story that, thanks, Marie. So you clarified. I have a one-year medical leave. So, one thing, if I were a hiring manager, one thing I'd want to see, it depends on how debilitating your medical situation was, but I'd want to see that you kept current in your field, that you went to a few events, that you took a certification class, that you did something with that time even though you had to be on leave. I would want to see, what do hiring managers want? Think about it. Put yourself in their shoes. They want someone who fits the criteria perfectly, who has all the skills for that job, who can hit the ground running, who has the personality and the stick-to-itiveness that's going to prove very important, that they're going to stay through the challenges, and that they've had the experience that they can address these challenges in successful ways. So you've got to prove that. So even though you had your one-year medical leave, how can you prove that, you're absolutely ready to get back to work? In fact, through your leave, you were doing all sorts of things that stayed you connected, kept you connected to the field. I hope that's helpful, Marie. If you have any other questions, let me know. Anyone else? I've got time for one more question. And Marie, you can keep it coming if you want to. Again, *2 on your phone, or you can submit a question online. All right, so let me take this question, and I hear this often, Kathy. I have a very small list, 200 people. How can I begin to build that in an authentic way? And I totally love that question. And, I struggled with list building for quite some time, and I couldn't get it over kind of every milestone. I had 200, and then it went to 1,000 people, and then I couldn't get it over 1,000 people. And then I got to 5,000 people, and I just couldn't get it over 5,000 people. And, what's really helped me is to have material that people can connect on my website for free. So I would highly recommend that first. Have a website that's very engaging, very clear, that offers ongoing material of help to them that will make them continue to come back and engage with you. So I would say that's the first step. a newsletter, as we've talked about, a way of regularly touching these people, that's an essential step as well. So, you know, it's your way of putting yourself out there in the world, offering your expertise, offering your information that you've gleaned through interviews with people who are moving and shaking. But again, some tips on the newsletter and or the blog. You've got to make it regular. A lot of people say do it the same day every week. I don't do that, but they do hear from me at least once a week. And what I find, you know, you want to use a newsletter platform. There's all sorts. I use Constant Contact and love it. There's MailChimp. There's all sorts of them. But what you also want to do is look at the statistics. The number of people, and all of this is trackable. How many people opened it? How many people clicked on the links you provided? How many people shared it? You want to start becoming a marketing guru in terms of what are the topics. You know, I've done hundreds of newsletters now. I can look through and see these got 25% open response. These got 10. Wow, nobody really dug this at all, or a lot of people shared this. So you want to begin to know what are the topics that really resonate, the information that resonates and really gets to the pain point of the people I'm trying to serve. I hope that's helpful. All right, my friends, I thank you so much. So a few things, definitely stay tuned. August 13th is why you're not charging enough for your work and how to change that. And we'll also touch on, if you're in the corporate world, how to generate more money doing work you love. So I hope you'll join me then. Send me questions. You can post them on the Career Success Training Facebook page. Please do like that and participate openly. Send me an email at Kathy@KathyCaprino.com. I'd love to hear what you got out of this and any other topics that you'd love to see me address. And I do hope this has gotten you energized and motivated and inspired to get out there in a bigger world. Share your special talents. Figure them out. Know what they are. Start talking about them and sharing them with the world, because the world needs them. All right, my friends. Thank you so much, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.